Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to Dragon Friends Season 5.
Happy crew, we joyfully join the fray. Nor daring do, we wouldn't pursue, but thinking it through, that isn't the dragon way.
Mortal minds are not made for moments such as these. The Dragon Friends have travelled from their hometown of Daggerford to distant mountaintops, cybertronic cities, and distant alien shores. I said distant twice. Interesting. I had 3 months to write this. Moving on.
Oh, this is sad. You've started policing yourself.
Along the way, new friends have been made and old ones lost. In Waterdeep, Dilge stumbled. At the House Eternal, Bobby died. At Dweoma Heart, celestial seat of the goddess of magic herself, a terrible price was paid, one you still grapple with. Filge, the half-orc barbarian. Baston, the fighter, Bavarian. Filge, the half-orc barbarian. Baston, the fighter, Barovian born. Bobby Pancakes, moon touched and born again, a reformed sinner and an imperfect saint. The three of you are all that are left of that motley crew they once called the Dragon Friends. After Friezo was left behind, the price exacted for Bobby's resurrection and a one-way ticket home.
Worth it.
As you hurtle through starlight, your minds begin to buckle at the impossible beauty of wild space. A tiny dot of light beckons, one that even as you black out, you instinctively know to be Faerun, the Forgotten Realm's home. Light swims at the edge of your vision. The sound of a splashing river fills your ears. Stumbling and groaning, the three of you stagger to your feet. You are standing in a muddy field. It's good to be back. It is good to be home at last.
I fall to my knees and I kiss the mud. I go, mwah, 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 mwah.
Get mud all over your face.
Okay. Then I give it a big hug.
The whole
ground. How does that work?
I just kind of fall flat on my face with my arms stretched out.
That's nice.
I'm just giving the earth a... It's been a while.
It has been. It's been about 2 years since last you came to the Forgotten Realms.
Just to clarify, am I only now back from the dead? Or have I been reincarnated, coming, hurtling through space?
I would say about a minute has passed since you came back. Because the moment you were resurrected, essentially, Mistra, you struck the deal, and Mistra sent all of you home. So yeah, you've just come back to life after being, for a few months at least, dead after you stabbed yourself in the heart. So I suppose really that you've had some stuff to grapple with.
Yeah.
Can I say that the deal that Mistra struck, I've had 3 months to think about this, when she was like, I will imprison Friezo forever, she didn't really need an end at that point. I think she kind of highballed herself a bit by offering the Bobby thing. It would have just been like, deal! And a Mars bar.
So we're on a riverbank.
That's right, a riverbank.
And can I see, in the... What's the weather like? What can I smell?
It's winter. There's a sort of a bite to the air.
Oh, I can smell that in the air. You can, though. It's got a distinctive smell.
It's the smell of, winter.
Burning fires.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
Do they have all the spices in Fantasyland that we have in wherever land we live?
They have
all
the nostalgic
but turmeric.
Really?
It's like in America. It's just got a different name. So yeah. You've got a couple of things. Everything's the same.
Yeah.
But they call turmeric for
aluminum.
Aluminum.
Got it.
If you could jot that down.
Oh. Will that be useful later?
Yeah, well, you never know.
Turmeric is aluminum.
Yeah, they have this.
Good. I go and make a curry. No. I stand up from hugging the ground and I go, Bobby! And I give him a really big hug and I toss him in the air like a cheerleader and I catch him again.
All right, you are hugged by an incredibly muddy half-orc, then thrown up in the air and thrown down into the mud.
I think I'm just not sure what's going on. I think Bobby is like...
Well, a lot's happened to you, hasn't it? So yeah. Just to remember, you died at the House Eternal, then you were risen from the dead by a Carcosan witch called Lady Casilda, and you sort of, in a weird way, became her kind of consort, bodyguard, zombie thing.
Do I recall that?
Only sort of as dreams. There you sort of have...
Beautiful dreams.
There are strange erotic nightmares between life...
Yep, that's Bobby.
But no, other than that, it's the whole thing. Episode seems like a strange dream.
The last thing I remember saying was "fuck a sucker, ding dong," and now I'm on a riverbank. What happened, guys?
Well, we met God, and she killed Friezo, and there were some space crocodiles.
It was a 60,000-word adventure.
Yeah. I had some cool adventures on, like, a flying spaceship, but that was about it.
I mean, he was there for that.
Yeah, were you on this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Frieza was crazy, tried to...
Yeah, where is Frieza?
Oh, he's in heaven.
Yeah, he in heaven.
Well, that seems unlikely. Wait.
Oh, he in heaven as punishment, and also we swapped him for you.
Turns out heaven is a half pipe.
What does...
carry that thought through.
What does that mean in this world?
There's a half bit of pipe lying in the mud.
Yeah,
and he picks
it
up.
It's like a deep pipe. He's in a hole, a half a pipe. Yeah. There must be a town nearby. I smell it.
You actually do, because this smell of burning pine logs and other wintry smells lead you in the direction of a town that you two would recognize. For just across the Shining River Dilimbia is the town that you grew up in and you came to call home, Daggerford, the town of Daggerford, okay. Where our adventures began 2.5 years ago.
Ooh. Can I assume they go on to describe exactly what happened in my absence?
Yeah, you okay. you know.
All right.
I mean, or we could just do this very... Do you want us to bring the half pipe back again?
I put a set of headphones on his ears and I say, listen to this podcast.
That's a good question. Do we have any tech from space?
Oh, yeah, what are we wearing? What are we wearing?
You did go... you did go to Cyber Tokyo 2075, so you could have feasibly got a podcast of the Dragon Friends to bring him up to speed.
Let's not go there.
But does the head in, doesn't it? No, but mostly of your items... The things that you had, the sort of space stuff, the gauntlets are gone. The jumpsuits have actually been replaced by the clothes, the kind of clothes you used to wear in this world.
Nice.
But your magic items, I've listed down, your main magic items, mm-hmm. traveled with you.
Can I say that Filge does have like 3 or 4 Nespresso pods on her person.
Yeah, you somehow broke the system. You got that across.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down.
Also, 2 of them are spent, and one of them is Voluto. And one of them is arpeggio.
Is that stronger?
Yes.
Tom?
Arpeggio is a musical term.
Thank you.
That really is musician for don't involve me. I also took the opportunity to level you all up. So as a milestone achievement for defeating the evil warlock Friezo and saving the universe, you all gain a level. So you are now a level 7 arcane trickster rogue. You are a level 4 monk, level 4 fighter, level 3 monk.
Yes.
Baston. And Filled, you are a level 6 barbarian, level 1 wizard.
Still one wizard.
Still one wizard.
How do you graduate from wizard school?
Well, if you do more wizarding things, next time I level you up, I will give you another level of wizard.
Okay.
Do you want to focus more on the wizarding from here on in and less on the barbarian?
Yes, I would like to, actually.
Dave, as a level 3 monk now, yep. I can deflect... I can catch missiles or deflect
you
missiles.
You can deflect them, I'm pretty
sure.
Yeah,
so just anyone wants to throw anything at me at any time.
I'd throw a rocket
dust on. Throw the half pipe at your head.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, so...
this is fun.
Yeah. Okay, so you got to make an attack roll on me with a rock.
And are we doing? Am I throwing the half?
Yeah, you're doing it together at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. No. One at a time. One at a time. 9. I think I get hit by a rock of some kind.
Okay, I throw the half pipe at your head. I rolled a 14.
Okay, I'll try and deflect that. 11. I don't know about. Look, I'll come back to you on this.
You probably have to meditate for a little while before it works, right?
Yeah. In the meantime, please no more projectiles in time.
It's the shortest magic trick I've ever seen.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know how leveling up works, like, in world, but I imagine that Baston was just like, I feel pretty good. And then both of you were like, oh, yeah!
I imagine that leveling up happens always with a montage.
Yeah.
There's always a period of montaging.
I'm hungry!
Great, so as I said, the town is just across the river. There's a bridge nearby, and this is, as I said, the town. You can see the castle at the center of it, Castle Daggerford, and it's a town of about 400 souls sitting on the banks of the Shining River on the way into Waterdeep.
Wait, all of them are sitting on the bank of the river?
Well, the people are doing their things, but
they're sitting. They're dangling their feet in the water.
It's a common term!
They're dangling their feet in the river?
Oh, my God. the city sits on the banks of the river.
Oh, okay.
That's all cool. Of them at the same time? Is there some sort of aquatic parade? A festival of lights, perhaps?
How cold is it? Are there bits of ice in the river?
Yeah, there are little bits of ice. Ooh. And stuff. It's getting to the coldest time of the year.
Chilly.
You've never been here before.
It's time for shopping! Fashion, fashion, fashion.
Best done!
Fashion montage.
We're back home. In Daggerford. Where?
Daggerford?
Daggerford.
Town of famed river crossings and knives.
Yep. Well, should we head back to our house?
You have a house? Oh, cool.
Sort of. We have rooms.
Oh, at the inn?
Yeah.
You're talking about the Dragonback Inn?
Yeah, let's go home.
Okay, all right, oh, wow. You make your way across the bridge. Most people are indoors. It's very cold. And soon you find yourselves outside the Dragonback Inn, where this adventure all began 2.5 years ago. A cheerful-looking tavern somewhere in the caravan district.
I thump on the door and I say, "Honey, we home!"
The door creaks open.
Honey? we walk in. Is there anyone inside?
It's pretty empty, actually. There is there's no people drinking and stuff at the moment, but there is a figure with their back to you polishing some tables. Small, short figure.
I tap on their head.
The figure spins around and it is Grim Saltback, the proprietor.
Grimmy. In me fudge.
And he goes,
"Long time no head tap. Tap, tap, tap."
Stop that!
A tap, tap.
And he goes, "I never thought I'd see such a low life, no good, worthless friend of mine!"
Hey!
And he hugs her.
Yeah,
probably just a leg.
In the professional scoundrel world, that's called a Lando. Oh. Think about it. It's a slow burner, but it's...
Cool.
Bobby, is that you? Bobby?
Yeah, that's me.
Friezo, where's that son of a gun?
Friezo's in heaven.
Who are you?
Meet the new Friezo.
I'm Baston Indrurovich. Handsome man and all-round cool guy. High five?
Low five.
Oh, yeah. We understand.
How you been? Going.
Yeah, well, but Ben's going pretty well, you know. There was creative differences, and they decided to go with a different saxophonist, and that's fine. I wish them all the best. They're doing well, I hear.
So, but 2 years ago, Grim Saltback was auditioning people because he wanted to start a band, and he's now been kicked out of his own band?
I mean, some say kicked out, some say he was moving. I didn't like it there, they didn't like it there. They're in Waterdeep, I hear. They're doing nice. It's good. Good for them. Good for them, I say.
That reminds me. A package came for you.
Oh, yeah. I thought, well, you skipped out on your bill 2.5 years ago, so I've been holding this as collateral. You owe me 30 gold pieces.
Right, you owe me 30.
Wait. Just to break. We've done various side adventures where we've paid him back.
Right? Interesting question. So we have at times, at certain conventions, done one-shot adventures which have featured Grim Saltback. None of them are canonical. They're all...
Now look, I had some crazy dreams where you paid me back.
This is the real one. This is the real homecoming.
And every morning I'd wake up and my purse would be empty and I'd think, what a fun dream that was. What a fun non-canonical dream that was.
I say, I have something more precious than 30 gold pieces.
Is it 31 gold pieces?
Some currency from very far away land. And I give him one spent coffee pot.
Well, he hasn't seen it before. It's shiny. It's silver.
What do you... Now, hang on just a minute. There's aroma.
Yeah.
Does she need to do a persuasion check?
Yeah.
I would say he's pretty convinced.
Make a little deception check. He's an idiot, so we'll call it DC 14.
16.
I drive a hard bargain. And he puts it in his top pocket and it immediately starts to sort of seep. Now, this package. By a guy from Waterdeep. Did I tell you, by the way, my band is down in Waterdeep? It's fine.
You still call it your band?
They're playing the Palace of Guilds. They're
Yeah, good for them. It's a good gig.
We gotta check them out. What their name?
You know what? Maybe don't. this package came from you from Waterdeep, care of the Beggar King.
Oh. Old friend.
Anyway, here it is.
Gimme. I'll rip it open.
All right, so he gives you a thing that's wrapped up in wax paper, and inside you see a scrap of paper and a gold, heavy gold coin that is embossed with the sign of the Masked Lords of Waterdeep. It's the official seal of the city.
Hmm. What does the note say?
The note says is very brief, and it just says, "There is a man on the castle in the hill. I think you would do well to pay him a visit." And then it's just signed J.
Who's Jay?
Jaden Pinkett.
that would be Janosmia, the Beggar King of Waterdeep. Although, to be fair, you have never met except in Chult and various non-canonical adventures.
Non-canonical.
This is a confusing timeline.
Yeah, oh, it all comes home to roost. Okay.
Man on a castle on a hill.
I say, Mr. Grimm, Saltback.
Shoot! I want to say Tim.
Okay. Yeah, I've never had a nickname before. All right. Where are there any castles around here?
There's the Daggerford Castle on that hill up there.
Close. cool.
That's the castle the Duke of Daggerford lived in. You went there in the first season. You killed a magical magician?
No, it was just... It was a magician.
You killed a stage magician.
A pickup artist and...
Oh, yeah.
And a lion.
And a lion, yeah. And a lion that did nothing wrong.
Is there a date on the note?
No, it doesn't have a date or anything that sort of identifies anything more than, as I said, his initials and then a gold coin with the symbol of the mask.
Do we have any other currency?
Well, you have two coffee pods that are apparently worth 30 gold pieces.
Three coffee pods, actually, I think.
Do we recognize that that sigil, the thing, the coin?
Yes. Oh, definitely, Bobby, you would recognize it. It usually means business of the Lords of Waterdeep, business of the city.
Right.
And it's a sigil that you would, for instance, show someone to be granted passage or to prove your credentials.
Not, for instance, to buy a round of drinks with.
Well, you can do whatever you want, can't you?
No. This one's on me, I say, and I slide another coffee pot over.
30 gold pieces of ale.
I'm starting your tab.
All right. What do you have, Baston?
I've got a cloak of billowing.
No. What? No. What? What drink will you have?
I'll have a hot rum toddy. But from now on, call it a hot rum Timmy.
As Baston indicates over to you, a gust of wind blows the little note on its back, and there's another little message there that says...
Oh, there's something written on the other side!
What'd it say?
It says, it occurs to me, having just written this note and having met you before, that you might at this point sort of dilly-dally and go off on some weird... Go to the castle, give the man at the castle the coin, Janos out.
There's
if
more,
only we
more.
Understood what this mysterious note meant.
There's more written on the back than on the front.
Maybe that the front.
Huh.
You turn it over again, and weirdly, there's another thing that says, I'm fucking serious.
Oh. Wow. But what does it mean?
All right. All right, Grim, we're going to have our hot rum Timmies to go. So can you pack them up?
He gives you four little tins. Tin mugs, each of them have a little...
I was trying to think, okay, what's the fantasy equivalent of a thermos? And you're right, it's like a sealed tin
thing. It's a tin mug, but then there's like a tea candle that's strapped to the bottom.
See, that's even better, because
it's
I haven't
just a lantern
really slept,
filled with rum.
I was like, what is it? And then for some reason, my front wire's got crossed with the Flintstones. And I was like, he puts it in a pelican.
You know what?
Pelican,
you know
pelican.
What? I'll take mine in a pelican.
Bobby gets his in a sarcastic pelican. The rest of you get tin mugs, and you make your way up the hill. And soon you find yourselves once again.
I take a sip out of the pelican's mouth.
It's a liver.
There we go.
The pelican is very drunk. You make your way up the hill, and once again, you find yourselves crossing the drawbridge that leads into the castle that dominates this small border town. A sort of giant two-story castle with a gleaming tower.
Ooh, giant two-story!
It's the biggest
each
thing
story
I've ever seen.
6 feet tall! And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a callback 4 years in the making.
Oh, my goodness. I gaze down at the giant castle.
I hate you all, and I haven't missed this.
It's on a hill.
And you, as you cross the drawbridge, you can see the raised portcullis, but standing in front of it are two guards who flank the doors and cross their spears as you approach.
Halt, peasants! Oh, see, that's a lot better, actually. Halt, peasants, you're coming a long way, Jeremy. The other one says the other one.
Didn't we kill you? Stand aside. Oh, fuck. I'm very drunk. I've been drinking this whole pelican of rum.
He has. He's a real loose unit. That's the pelican's voice.
It's
just
a good
decided.
One.
Well, I think we found Dave, a character that's a real crowd favourite. Might stick around. We're in business from the masters of the city of Waterdeep.
And yeah, who the peasant now?
Well, you...
Bitch!
You're covered in mud all over your face. Have you been eating mud?
I flash the coin.
I've been smooching mud.
All right, they look at the coin and they look at each other and one of their faces go white and then the spears part and they stand to the side stiffly to attention.
Yeah, I thought so.
Give us that coin back.
You still have the coin.
Yeah, well, don't think about it.
Yeah, and give me that hat.
Yeah.
And he gives you his hat.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, sir. If I may ask a question, it's not too impertinent to ask. Did that pelican just talk?
Why don't you ask the pelican?
Did you just talk?
I'm just a bird.
I don't know why, but it stuck.
Also, don't just say that pelican. It has a name.
Yeah, it's Crawford.
As you were, I'll alert the
yeah, do that. And I fling his hat into the moat.
Oh. And then
an alligator comes out. Yinkies, and then gets knocked out and just sinks to the bottom again.
Yeah.
The whole, this isn't going to be all just a clip show. Like,
soon,
get some stuff off.
You walk in, the guard's flanking you, and they take positions on either side of the interior walls, because soon you see that the castle opens up into a giant central throne room with six huge pillars, and it seems some work that has been done on the throne room since the last time you were here. A huge marble dais in three sections, flanked by big, proud flags and spears laid out along the back of the room.
Wait, proud flags or pride flags?
Proud, like they jut out.
Ooh,
stiff.
And like Crawford.
At the highest, at the tallest, most powerful point in the room, a tall granite chair, high-backed and imperious. Ooh. And sitting on that chair is a kind of dumpy-looking nobleman with a tiny pointed beard who seems to be studying a small sheath of papers.
Not now, please. You did not disturb me while I'm reading my sheaf of papers.
Hey, buddy, I dine in space. I don't give a fuck.
Oh boy.
Guards, there is a crazy man in here. Please take him away.
I flash the coin. We're not on official business, my friend.
Behold our coin.
And also check out our talking pelican.
Oh, nice room you've got here. What did you have it? How much did it cost? Sorry, I started to say one thing, then said another. Now I'm stuck.
Okay, pipe down, Crawford.
Crawford's gotten a bit big for his boots, I think. Which is pretty impressive for a bloody pelican. Is there all... Okay, so he sees the coin and he sort of, again, like the guards, turns pale and his demeanor completely changes. He goes, but of course, and he like hops off the throne.
With surprising buoyancy.
Yeah, and sort of dusts it. And goes, excusez-moi. I am Le Croix. That is LaCroix.
Is that your surname?
Yes.
What's your first name?
It's just Le Croix.
No, it's not. My first name? The simplest of questions. Because, of course... Answer, what is my first name? It is Simon Graneur. One word, Simon Graneur. Simon Graneur LaCroix.
I was just giving you an opportunity to say pamplemousse.
It was the correct answer, absolutely. It's the best flavor of LaCroix. Anyway, moving on.
And what business do you have sitting on this hard chair?
Well, since you do not know, which is odd, I am, and I must stress, in a particular caretaker capacity, the Duke, I say, of Daggerford. Nice to see you. But as you have a little coin, let me see that a little closer, please.
Are you going to do this? I'm sorry.
The all this time. Accent. Yep. The all time.
I hold it up to his face.
Charming. That is such a good coin. Well, yes, well, obviously there is much to do now.
Where the regular Duke at? We're regular Duke. You're caretaker Duke. We're normal Duke.
He was murdered, how you say? Some time ago.
There was a dragon. He was on it.
It was like the biggest thing that has happened in the whole time.
Wait,
here.
He was on a dragon and then the dragon ate him, or he...
Well, he went down to Waterdeep and never came back. The reports vary, you know.
But who murdered him? And what?
Okay, so there was.
Are
like
you serious?
Yes, I didn't catch that part of the story. Wait, which guy?
I bet it was us.
Yes, the Duke of Daggerford, who was the first Duke, was murdered, and the second Duke, Davin Tyrell, you killed in the House of the Artificers in season one. Oh my god!
And like the biggest
since that time, there has been no formal family ruling over Daggerford, and there is a sort of custodian duke in the shape of LaCroix.
Yeah, like again, like it's the biggest thing that it's like that big thing, and then like.
Did you mention I died in space?
And
you got a talking pelican. Your big is our tiny. Now take us to where we're meant to go with this.
Right this way.
And he leads you through the throne room, comes down the stairs, and he takes you into a small study off the side, a kind of den with a big roaring fireplace and a few armchairs, and also a small writing desk in the corner. And he pulls out a key, rifles through it, and starts looking through some letters.
And can I just say that while I look for these letters, it has been an honor to be caretaker, Duke. I hope you like what I've done with the place. I don't know if you saw the throne room from before. Very imposing.
Did you see much?
The flat. Well, okay, well, that's.
And he pulls out soon, and he flourishes for you another letter that is stamped with a wax seal, again with the sign of the Masked Lords of Waterdeep. And ostentatiously, he shows you that the seal has not been broken, and then he snaps it open.
Shall I read it to you?
Who's holding the coin, by the way?
Me.
Okay.
And he starts reading it, but it's like in Hunt for the Red October, where it zooms in on his mouth, then it zooms out, and it's a different voice. Under the power vested in me, Janos Mir, by the Lords of Waterdeep, in accordance with the ancient rites of accession and fealty, do declare the owner of this token, that's a coin, to be the right and true Lord of Daggerford. First of their name, and immediately imbue them all rights, responsibilities, privileges, and duties accorded to the rank of Duke of the Realm. I name them responsible for the maintenance of these lands, collection of taxes, and the upkeep and the readiness, etc., etc., of the holdfast of this castle, its respective military forces and treasuries, for the protection of these lands and trade and peace of the Lord's Alliance. So it is said, and so it is done. So that is them.
Is that an accent crossfade you did?
Yes, it
was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very good.
I liked it, Ben. That was great.
Looks so like that is Ben leveled up too.
Crossfade is also a musical term.
Is it a coffee though?
No.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So that is the gist.
So wear me hat. Wear me Duke hat. Give me Duke hat.
And he sort of looks at you, and he's wearing a quite normal hat, but he sees your eyes and he looks at it and he starts to move his hands as if to say, but this isn't a, but yeah. You really
but I brought this
want.
From, I brought this from home. This is not.
So what does Duke hat look like?
It's just a felt cloth indoor cap. That he sort of has with a wide brim for the so the candlelight doesn't get in his eyes. It looks very ordinary, quite comfortable.
Wait, does it look like a baseball cap?
Yeah.
Nothing like.
It's a fantasy baseball cap.
Yeah. Indoor, for all the indoor candlelight. The indoor glare.
You're not going to have an outdoor candlelight, Eden.
Now,
get yourself together.
He gives you the hat.
Cool. All right. So what now?
Yeah, so congratulations, Filge. Because you were the one holding the coin at the moment, you are now the Duke of Daggerford. You own the castle.
Here is a map.
I've given you some maps of your
map
of your castle.
So we're here in the throne room.
You're actually in the you're in the den off the side of the throne room. But yeah, you're on the first
floor. Oh yeah.
Nice.
All right.
Nice. There's a den. This place has a den.
It is completely up to you. Do I call her a Duchess?
My liege.
My liege.
Maybe you ask me what me like to be called.
of course. By which title shall I address you?
Just the normal one.
Your liege, your most exalted, Duchess?
Duke. It's like actor, doctor. You know, don't mess it up. Me Duke, and your prettiness.
Okay, your prettiness. Look, Janos Mio told me that should you return with the coin, which he did, I must say, he said was unlikely, but here you are. And he said if it was the wish of the new Duke that I should, linger to in an advisory capacity, then that is something that I would be willing to do. I already have rooms for myself and some linens that I like to sleep in.
Me gotta say, me very happy you're not putting up a fight with this basic takeover.
But of course, I always knew this was temporary, as fleeting as this summer be.
Okay, dragon huddle.
Three of you form a huddle in the corner.
I will be stolen away over here.
So, that was easy.
Yeah. Your prettiness,
I would like to be the first to liege my fealty to your duke and declare myself number one guy in town.
Okay, done. Well, I was thinking something else. How about every time someone else want to be Duke in Dragos, we rock, paper, scissors for it.
Cool.
And we just pass the hat around because, you know, absolute power corrupts and whatnot.
All right.
So does Filch say absolute power corrupts and whatnot?
And whatnot, as the saying goes. Whatnot.
So I turn around and I say, hey, Frenchie.
Frenchie? What is this...
You're looking at the ruling triumvirate of Daggerford.
Yeah. You got first order of business. You got to make two more hats.
Okay, once again, I brought this hat from home.
But it will be done.
Yeah. Of course, yes. One teeny tiny hat.
Let me. I will assemble this staff. And he claps his hands twice like a good little major domo. And seven figures scurry to attention. You can see a chef, a beastmaster, some scullion maids, and they all sort of line up. There's about seven staff plus. Behind them, a row of six guards with all of the spears. Your household staff stand to attention. And at that moment, as I said, there's seven and six. There's 13. A 14th figure sort of pokes their head around a corner and to see what all of the fuss is. And this is a kind of dressed like a sort of a noble kid, like a kid from a noble family.
Or like a fancy boy.
A fancy boy.
Got it.
Well, who's this fancy boy? Step forward, fancy boy.
This is the new Duke Triumvirate, so I would suggest that you do so. He says to the figure.
The figure looks confused and sort of embarrassed and is about to duck away, but encouragingly, LaCroix beckons him forward. And to play that figure, please welcome back to the Dragon Friends and to the stage, Michael Hing! So as I said, the figure is dressed like a sort of shit in a kind of grey suit and it seems a yellow tie and sunglasses indoors.
Does this boy have a little beard like how Michael Hing does?
Yeah, and this boy is dressed in clothes that he was not wearing backstage.
Does the little boy have a pocket square?
He has a little blue pocket square.
And
a newfound confidence, I think, which excites and intrigues me as Dungeon Master, and I can't wait to see how it plays out.
Dave?
Yes?
First of all, you told me that the start of this show would take 10 to 15 minutes.
I apologize that I had no way of knowing that they would adopt a pelican.
This really feels like a taste of my own medicine, and I do not like it. Secondly, you told me I could make a character sheet, so I've done that.
Yep.
My character, his name is Lion Shield Banknote. He's an artificer.
An artificer.
Yeah, and I've worked out a voice as well.
Great.
Very good.
If it's Aldi Poirot, it's already taken.
What do you mean an artificer? What is this?
It's an artificer. You said I could do anyone from D&D Beyond, and I did.
Is that someone who makes like counterfeit coins?
No, it's like a. Well, you'll see what the voice. The voice will give a lot away.
It's magic science, right?
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
What type of creature are you? Like, are you a fox or a man? The two types.
I'd say I'm fox man. I'm closer to man than fox.
Okay.
What is he? Did he have a thing on his face?
Well, you say that you are an Asimar. An Asimar.
ASMR.
I think I got an idea of how the voice is going to sound.
It's a very particular voice.
But is he like a Star Trek face?
What is this? So you've done this. These are all variant.
He's printed it out, David.
And custom races.
Where'd you get a printer?
All right.
You told me I was allowed to take 12 things from D&D Beyond. So you can check my equipment
hammer,
list. It's all legal.
Stone of good luck. Necklace of fireballs. Ball bearings bag of 1,000. Anti-matter rifle.
It's legal, dude. It's 100% legal.
And then the sixth one is a shovel. What do you need a shovel for?
In case you need to bury something. I don't know. It's just in my go bag. I don't know, dude.
Okay, so Baston.
You've done your personality traits and you've given yourself the bond that common folk must see me as a hero of the people.
Yeah, dude.
Chaotic good. Interesting.
Chaotic right. good.
So Baston says, step forward, boy. What is your name?
Fuck's sake.
Greetings! My name is Lion Shield Banknote of the Rutherglen Banknotes. I am but a tinkerer of contraptions. You might know me as a poet of the mind and a distiller of the finest rums and most mediocre gins known to man.
Are you old enough to drink?
Yes! My family is one of the fanciest, well, formerly was, one of the most fanciest and most decorative families in all of the known realms. Are we still in that one? I don't know.
1,000 pardons to interrupt. your dukes, allow me to introduce to you, if that was not clear, Master Banknote, he stays with us in the castle.
A tinkerer of contraptions!
Yeah, no, he did, yep, that's a...
How old is this boy?
In years?
He's an he's of the ASMR people. And which are a sort of race that are not dissimilar to elves, but they are descended from the gods. So you can tell, angels, in fact. So you can tell from his kind of blue, otherworldly skin and his sort of platinum blonde hair that he is either a celebrity chef or some kind of angelic creature, and he's probably, you know, easily 100 years old.
Oh.
But brain-wise... Maybe like 17 or so.
What? Were you whispering there, LaCroix?
No, I was using my teeny tiny voice.
All right then.
And so you're like you're an artificer. You're a kind of you do
a tinkerer.
You make sort of arcane mechanical inventions.
Yes, Dave. I looked this up. I can kind of imbue. It says imbue tiny non-magical objects with magical properties.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. But I also know a couple of spells as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm like low level magic.
Okay.
Hey, Banksy, can you make my pelican magic?
Well, your pelican appears to speak, which makes me think it might be of magic origin. Somebody do an arcana check.
Is it? Are you going to do the arcana check? No.
I could race you to it, my boy. What is your name?
I'm Baston of the family Indrirovich.
Ah!
Can you teach me new ways to win at online poker?
Ah, Baston, you are as handsome as you are single.
And correct. So tell us, Banknote, what do you do in the castle here? We are its new lords.
Yes, and please show us respect.
Yes, well, I'm respectful of all lords as a nobleman myself. I will tell you that I was destined to go to university, to the college, as it were. I was to study. What?
No, why are you doing this to us?
No, I like it. Keep
no,
going.
It's yeah. good. No,
I was destined to study the finest books and the longest comic books. And now, unfortunately, I have taken leave of absence from my studies.
But this is very similar to Michael Hing, I've got to say. So, yeah.
He's doing what we are calling a gap year in the castle.
He's
doing some, he coaches rugby for the under-12s in the...
Yes, I coach abseiling as well.
Oh.
And I've started a study group if you would like to learn anything from any of my books.
We are very lucky to have him. Dukes, and of course, Master Banknote.
Thank you.
Obviously, this was a duty that I was to undertake when I woke up this morning. I understood that this would be my job as it is every other day.
Caretaker, so don't get ahead of yourself.
No, 1,000 pardons, 1,001, you know, for extra good measure. But you have a line of petitioners waiting to see you.
Fans.
Not in so many words, but your subjects, you know?
Oh, duke work. All right. Look, we'll take him in the throne room. I'll take the one that's there now. And what kind of chair you want?
A chair?
Yeah.
Oh, like a swing.
You want a
And I will have a chaise lounge.
A chaise lounge for Monsieur Baston and a swing for Bobby Pancakes.
Yes.
Do you mean like a little tiny infant swing that you put in and they swing back and
Don't
forth?
Don't get cute with me.
Okie dokie.
Well, I will see what I can do. And LaCroix and the staff scurry away. And Phil, you make your way up to the tall back chair at the top of the dais in the throne room. Where you can see already there are now mingling a few figures that are being put into a line by the guards. And one of them steps forward.
Oi, where's the little one? Where's the little one with the beard?
Oh, we're the dukes now. LaCroix, send out a newsletter. Me don't want to have to explain this a million times.
LaCroix is getting your various chairs.
LaCroix, send out a newsletter!
I will do it immediately.
In but a moment, a chaise lounge is what I need. No, that is a settee.
All right, well, you'll do then. Me cabbages are going missing.
A quest for the dragon prince.
Fear not, good man. We will find out who is taking your cabbages. Now be gone.
Next.
That's not what I would...
and he's the two guards said, you heard her, and they drag him out.
Cabbage quest.
And what's Lion Shield? What are you doing? Are you just...
I think I'm skulking around the corner. I'm still back in the other room.
Are you making my pelican more magic?
Oh,
You've left the pelican in Lion
Shield. Yeah, Crawford's with Lion Shield.
I've rolled a 7 as an arcana check.
All right, it seems that the pelican is mundane in origin.
This is but a normal pelican!
You can say that again!
Bird of the water!
Next petitioner?
Next!
I've been waiting for half an hour.
I don't in space.
Next!
But the third is a man that looks at his wit's end, huge circles under his eyes, and he's sort of nervously clutching a cloth cap.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you so much for seeing me. You don't look like I thought you'd look like. For example, you're three people.
And as he says that, three scullery maids very slowly drag a chaise lounge and sort of scraping across the stone and place it.
It's really loud, too.
And they place it, they sort of thump it next to the throne.
I Baston does a few circles on it like a cat.
Gotta find the comfy bit.
Yeah, gotta find the comfy spot.
I've written several letters and to no avail. It's the wedding in town. It's been going on for days. Look, this is essentially, and they said that this was below the Duke's pay grade, but I waited and waited and waited. It's just too loud. It's a noise complaint.
How long has this wedding been going for?
3 days. And I can't sleep. I've got a 3.5-month-old at home.
Well, you wouldn't be sleeping anyway.
Up there in Rivershine Hall, the Mercivale Skidders, they're a nuisance.
The Skidders.
Hello. What kind of wedding are we looking at here?
A noisy one!
We'll see. Well, I don't care about you. But
thank you for seeing me.
But I am upset that we, as Duke, were not invited.
I know.
Hey, guys, prima notte.
What?
Is the ducal right to, I'm not saying I do it.
What's
That's
it
worth
called?
Having a look.
Wait.
Prima notte?
What is it?
Can you explain it?
The ducal right to have sex with the bride on the wedding night?
Oh.
Wait, it's the third night? No, not worth our time. We've missed the windows closed on that.
I'm not saying... Just to be clear, I'm not saying I'd do it.
I would.
Monsieur, there is a wedding every other week in Daggerfield. It is a destination for weddings. Since we built that lovely gazebo, and one of my initiatives as caretaker, you understand, I would not trouble yourself.
But if there is no other business, then perhaps we shall let this riffraff. I will deal with such tiny matters. And at that moment, there is a pounding on the doors, and you hear a sort of a powerful but reedy voice yell out, "Let me in!" And the doors slam open, and a gaunt, tall figure is silhouetted in the doorway.
I have been waiting for half an hour. And I will not be sent home. Okay. I thought I'd get some pushback there, so I was sort of ready to get the... And boy, the, you so know what? You kind of wrong-footed me.
He has a sort of Puritan collar on and a long, gaunt, black coat very tightly bound around him, a peaked cap, and he has a kind of sort of vulture-esque energy, sort of gaunt shoulders and long fingers as he walks forward and points a finger at you, Filge.
The sanatorium is filled to bursting!
The sanatorium?
That's what I just said.
Where
that
all sanitary products go?
No, that's
clean it out.
That's not
clean
what
it
that
out.
Means.
Clean it out. Clean it out.
We would
invest
clean
in
it.
Moon cups, the magical cups made in the light of the moon.
We would invest in things if we had funds and staff and were at our wits' end with madmen and madwomen filling our cells.
I'm no accountant, but you need to look at your budget. That's what I'd do if I were an accountant.
I've looked at...
Next!
I will not be sent away! It is a disaster!
Two guards are already grabbing him and dragging him forward as he sort of keeps yelling at you.
Come and see! Come and see with your own eyes the...
Wait. What is the sanatorium? Is it where the poo goes?
It is not where the poo goes!
Okay, so you would know this, Filge, and you would know this, Friezo... May he rest in peace. The Old Hill Sanatorium is the kind of asylum of Daggerford, and it's an old historical building that is nominally run by the devout nuns and custodians of the Temple of Ilmata, a order that have largely taken vows of silence, and they're run by this man, Father Jebediah Brackenwald. And it is a sanatorium for the afflicted, for those that have, through magical means or otherwise, taken leave of their senses and are in need of its sort of restorative properties. It is this kind of dark and superstitious place, but also a place of healing.
So you're the boss of this place?
Absolutely, I'm the boss.
So, like, your fault, right?
If you keep sending me mad people and I don't have anywhere to put the mad people, then it's not my fault.
But surely...
With the greatest of respect.
Well, but don't you... Fix the mad people?
What's the turnover rate like?
Yeah.
Growing alarmingly, says Father Jebediah.
What are they mad of? Like, what is it?
Let me...
Voice...
I have been...
He goes on to explain that the sanatorium simply cannot cope with the influx of patients that have recently been admitted and that new, poor, afflicted souls are showing up every day. This has been a growing problem throughout the winter, far out of scale of the normal amount of cases that they deal with, and already the patients admitted have taken the place to bursting point, making the conditions unsanitary and even more frightening. Ooh. And he's concerned that the problem is only getting more and more out of hand without the funding of the asylum being equally increased.
I brought this up with LaCroix, and LaCroix said deal with it, and I tried, and I can't.
Bunk beds. Here, look, it's a chaise lounge. Put another one on top. Bunk beds.
We have already tried bunk beds. Look, usually, and I have been in the crazy person business for a long time, typically someone turns up. They hear some voices. I talk to them about it. I give them some medicine. We have another talk. They go home.
In my mind, Ben, he was going to be quite a sympathetic character sort of to the plight of the neuroatypical, but the crazy person business...
This is fantasy. It's a different world. Anyway...
You're cancelled.
I will not be cancelled!
He's an old man. He's from a different time.
And a different dimension.
I'm saying I can't treat whatever this malady is. Come see for yourself. Come see.
Sorry. You want to say something?
Can Lion Shield kind
bank
of
banknote?
I think he's heard the commotion and he sort of strolls in to the room and he goes, Father Jebediah, it is good to see you again. I hear that you're having trouble at the old sanatorium, are you?
Yes, banknote.
Well, my offer always stands. If you'd like some of those troubled few to be donated to a worthwhile house.
I'm sorry, what?
I could always take some more subjects for my experiments.
Oh,
I'm cancelled! I'm cancelled! Get a load of this guy!
He says to the whole court.
You said you wrote chaotic good.
Yes, Dave! I'm not sure if you're familiar with how things like vaccines were originally tested, but it was on the poor and unfortunate, and it was for the common good.
You can't make an omelette.
The greater good, not the individual good.
Is there such a class as good evil? What do you guys want to do?
All right, again, Father Jebediah is, like, embarrassed for Banknote, and there's sort of an uneasy silence that any of you could feel free to fill at any moment.
Okay, Dragon Huddle.
Okay, let's go check out this cabbage situation.
Yeah. Where are they?
Across town, near the small hamlet of Stillwater, half a day's ride out of Daggerford, and the farmer is frankly surprised to see the ducal procession, four guards in tow, arriving at his humble fucking cabbage farm.
Yeah, so, they were here and now they're not.
Here's your problem. I hold up a dead rabbit with a crossbow bolt through it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Rabbits, was it?
Oh, put yeah, up that... a fence, dipshit.
Yeah. No, you're, you know what? I was sort of just blown off steam, you know, just sort of wanting to get out.
All right. Now that's sorted. To the wedding.
Rivershine Hall. Famed tavern of the property few, nestled inside the money quarter of Daggerford under the calming influence of the Temple of Timora, is a function house of some delight. Already you can hear the noise wafting in the streets of drunken revelry and bridal waltz music. On the distance, it seems that the town has for 3 days now been feasting, and another NPC, frankly surprised to see you, still with a cloth cap in his hand, is standing there and has very little to say, having already served his purpose to the greater narrative, but here you are.
Some kind of an existential crisis. He thought he was kind of just didn't exist, really, yeah. Outside of that.
It's a real sort of waiting for Godot
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Filge walks up to, like, the hall where they're all having revelries.
So you're outside the hall, yeah. And he's waiting there, the little guy yeah. You talked to.
Okay.
We're going to sort this out for you. And I walk in with...
Well, hang on. You were riding in a palanquin held aloft by, like, servants because you're the duke. So you're
well, then
mark
I
it?
Sit in. What?
So you're going to make them walk it into
yes.
The building?
And I walk in and I...
It's a real squeeze. It's a small door.
Well, we go one at a time. And I get a can...
So the guards sort of... They collapse the palanquin and they walk in single file.
Yeah.
Filge following. And then she sort of waits and they sort of reassemble it. And she kind of climbs up onto it. And this is in a small anteroom inside the Rivershine Hall Function Center where there is a reception desk. And there is a small man in a little suit and tabard waiting. And before he says anything... All of you quickly make for me a perception check.
Ooh.
Am I with them, Dave?
I don't know. Are you?
Yes, you can be part of our retinue.
Ha ha! I got an 8, Dave.
6.
Anyone get over 15?
Yes, I did.
18 right. Plus whatever my bonus is.
All right, great. Banknote and Bobby, you both notice at that moment something, which is that the last sustained note is held by the bridal waltz. And then it just seems to hang in the air and disappear. And another room behind him is silent. However, the reception dignitary has not noticed.
Hello.
Hello. Gerald. Filge, Duke of Daggerford.
Oh, lovely. That's nice.
You the MC?
No, I'm just sitting at the desk here. Name, please.
Oh,
my name is Lion Shield Banknote of the Rutherford Banknote.
Your name was? Yes, you, the large lady looking at me.
How much longer this wedding go for? We don't want to wrap it up if it's a cultural thing. We don't want to get cancelled. So just wondering what the norm is.
Well, there's one more evening of reveries to go. The bridal waltz is happening right now.
Well, we are not ones to be left out of a bridal waltz. Baston's going to kick down the door.
You're gonna kick down the door.
I'm gonna kick down the door, Dave. I'm rolling the dice
yep,
for it.
Yep, the door is open, and oh,
kick it out of the way.
You kick down the door,
and I want to get that wife, and I want to waltz her.
Oh, right. Ask first.
All right, well, Baston kicks down the door, it clatters to the ground, and at that moment, a scene in front of you, like out of some kind of strange trance, for you see guests, you see a priest of Timora, you see a bride and a groom and a bridal party arrayed around them, and a quartet in the corner, and all of them stand upright, their eyes wide open, and none of them... seem they all move and they breathe and they sort of sway back and forward, but they are all caught in a single moment. And now you realize that the sound you can hear is the fiddle player's bow slowly pulling back on one note again and again as he sways left and right, his eyes locked on a bride and groom, arms around each other as they sway backwards and forwards, the center of attention of a paralyzed room. And now you realize that with great powers come responsibilities, for a dark magic has found its way into the heart of Daggerford, and here in the River Shine Hall, something is beginning that will carry you through perhaps the next 10 months. Impossible to say, but then again, we do tend to fill these things on a schedule. Can the dragon friends find a solution to a curse that is already gripping the land? Can they rise to the new demands of new titles and powers of succession? For the answers to questions such as this, tune in to the next and second episode of Dragon Friends. Thank you.
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Michael Hing, and Eden Lacey, and are DM'd by me, Dave Harmon, with NPC voices by Ben Jenkins. Our season's theme music was composed by Scott Edgar, performed by Tripod, and orchestrated and mixed by Austin Wintery with M.R. Miller. Shakira Khan designs our website, and the podcast is mixed by Beth McMullen and recorded live at Giant Dwarf Theatre with music this episode by Tom Cardi. Bye!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.